119. Continuing on in our series through this book of the Bible. This morning we're going to be looking at verses 97 through 104. Psalm 119, verses 97 through 104. Read those. It says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for your word, and we thank you for this psalmist and his writing of this song, and in particular this portion here that clearly describes just how much he loves your word, because it is so beneficial in his life, and Lord, it's beneficial in ours as well. And I do pray, Lord, that as we look at this section of this psalm, that you would work in our hearts, perhaps allow us, instill in us the desire to grow more in love with your word, so that we can grow more in love with you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, this portion of Psalm 119 describes some of the reasons, really, that the psalmist loves God's word. He even compares it to a tasty treat and says that God's word is even more pleasurable than the sweetness of honey. In fact, his wording throughout this entire portion of this psalm communicates that he's really an expert, or has become at least an expert, in the field of God's word. He knows all about God's word. He's gained great understanding from it and insight about its power and its benefits in his life, especially as compared to worldly philosophies. This psalmist is speaking really in this section like he has become a connoisseur of comprehension, really knowing good information, godly information from bad information, worldly information. He's come to the place to where he knows truth from error, wisdom from fallacy. Now, a connoisseur really is just a person that has a love for a particular field of interest, and as a result of that love, he has become kind of an expert in it, all right? And that's where we find our psalmist, a connoisseur of God's word, to where now he can, in fact, a connoisseur of anything really is a person that can identify value where others often miss it. All right, value in an area or a field of expertise. In front of a delicatessen in New York City, an art connoisseur noticed a mangy little kitten lapping up milk from a saucer. Again, this is right in front of this delicatessen, and instantly he realized that saucer is worth some money. That saucer is actually a rare and precious piece of pottery, and here this owner, delicatessen owner, has this mangy little kitten lapping milk out of it. So he strolled into the store, and not wanting to call any attention to the pottery, he offered the store owner $2 for the cat. "It's not for sale," said the store owner. "Look," said the collector, "that cat is dirty. It's undesirable. I'm kind of eccentric. I like cats that way. I'll up my offer to $10. The store owner thought for a moment. He says, "It's a deal," and he pocketed the $10. "For that sum, I'm sure you won't mind throwing in the saucer. The cat so seems to like it." The store owner says, "Nothing doing. I'm not going to do that. It's my lucky saucer. From that saucer, I have sold 34 cats this week." And, of course, now the delicatessen owner is a connoisseur of mangy cats, all right? But a connoisseur really is just a person that has a love for a particular field of interest and has become an expert in it, to where they can identify value where many others miss it. And I have known connoisseurs of fine wines, okay, that spend a great deal of time collecting them, trading them, talking about them, tasting them. I've known, connoisseurs of weaponry. I've known connoisseurs of cars, connoisseurs of coffee, coins, books, all right? And every single connoisseur that I have ever met displays similar attitudes toward the things they've become experts in, toward those things that they have come to love. And I will tell you that we find those very same attitudes in our psalmist in this portion of Psalm 119. And really, there are just two of them. Two major ones, all right? But our subject this morning is the connoisseur of comprehension. And if you remember, Psalm 119, it has 22 stanzas, one for each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And we don't really get to see that because it's translated in English for us. But we come to the mem section of our psalm this morning. And so that we too might become a connoisseur of comprehension, through this section of this psalm, we're going to see two attitudes of a person who is a connoisseur of comprehension. And the first one is this: a connoisseur of comprehension, this is very general here, but here it is, he loves God's law. He loves God's law. Look at verse 97 again. He says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." Now, God's law in general refers to everything that God has spoken, at least in the Old Testament, as we look at that from our perspective now. But everything really that God has spoken to man through his commandments, through his testimonies about himself, through his precepts concerning man's moral obligations, and even his judgments concerning fair conduct. And we are here told that the psalmist loves this. He loves God's law. He loves his word, and he meditates on it. He diligently thinks about these things that God has said throughout his day. They come to mind. Now, I believe that we can be a connoisseur of more than one thing. I don't believe that having a love for fine wines, weaponry, cars, coins, or books, I don't think that's a bad thing. In fact, as I was going through this, it made me think of Scott, Rosie, all right? Scott is a connoisseur of guitars, and he has a lot of them. And he spends his days trading them, collecting of them, talking about guitars, playing guitars. And it's been very, very profitable for him. And for that reason, it's become apparent, at least to me, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he loves guitars. All right? And he could easily communicate why. Well, in our passage, the psalmist communicates that kind of love for the Word of God, the Bible, really. And he gives us the reasons why. And here they are. Number one, it provides victorious wisdom for him. It provides victorious wisdom. Look at verse 98. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies. Now, it's not the enemy. All right, let me finish that. Wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. And it's not his enemies that are ever with him. He's actually talking about the commandments, okay? The commandments, the word of God, that's ever with him. And because he loves them, because he meditates on them, he's taken time to learn God's word, to study God's word. And he's come to the point where he knows a great deal of it by heart. And even in a heated confrontation, even in a battle against those who are opposed to him, are opposed to God, he comes out on the winning side because of the wisdom that God's word can provide. And just by way of example, our adversary, the devil, has many tactics in this world designed to divert us from those things that are true and from those things that are truly important. We are bombarded by false teachings, worldly philosophies, man-made ideals, and then we are called bigots or haters or fools or idiots if we don't buy in to those philosophies. We are also bombarded daily by advertising designed to make us discontent with what God has so richly blessed us with. Advertising that tells us to buy this or that so that we can be the envy of our neighbors, so that we can have a better car, a faster internet connection, a tastier beer, better looking friends. Well, here are some commandments that are very profitable against these tactics of our enemy. Number one, love the Lord your God. Love the Lord your God. And here's another one. Do not covet. Very simple truths here. Very wise words that can guide us in truth and save us thousands of dollars. All right? Keep us out of all kinds of trouble and give us victory over our adversary, our enemies. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, now, godliness with contentment is great gain. There's a simple truth, and it mirrors the two commandments I just listed for you. And it's profitable. It's great gain. That is one reason to love God's word. It provides victorious wisdom. Another reason to love God's word is it affords educated insight. Look at verse 99 now. It says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Because he has decided to sit under God's word, because he has decided to learn and study God's word, the teachings from God, he knows more than all the earthly teachers. And that's what this is referring to here. Now, there are questions. There are questions in the world today that man has theorized answers to. They, in their own intellect, have imagined how the universe began. They've imagined how man came to be. They imagine a big bang and life magically evolving from non-life. However, in their own words, these worldly smart people, in their own words, they will say about their own theory, what we believed happened is impossible. They will say it. It goes against, they say, all of the laws of nature, yet we believe it happened. Now who sounds like the fool? Romans 1:22 says, of the world's wisdom, professing to be wise, they became fools. Well, God teaches that He is the self-existent one, that He has always existed, that He created from nothing everything, that He is the original cause. He created man in His own image roughly 6,000 years ago. And because of God's word to man, we are afforded more educated insight than all earthly teachers. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19, God, through the Apostle Paul, says, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He catches the wise in their own craftiness." He realizes, he shows them that what you're believing, worldly teachers, what you're believing, you agree is impossible, yet you continue to say that it happened. He catches them in their own craftiness. That is another great reason to love God's Word. God's Word affords educated insight. Thirdly, it gives boundless understanding. Verse 100. "I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts." The psalmist says because he lives out his life in accord with God's Word, he actually has more experiential knowledge than people of the world that are much older than him. Now, my translation uses the word ancients there, but that is just a rather unflattering word for the elderly. And I'm guessing none of us here like to be called ancient. However, here's his point. Even the very oldest people in the world, those that have been around for a really long time and have experienced a great many things in life, for the psalmist, because he lives out God's word in his life, he can have greater understanding about life than even really old people. That's one of the amazing things about God's word. We can have a young man like Sergio Salazar, our pastoral intern, early 20-something, 23, I think, come to the pulpit here and teach from God's Word those of us that are in our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. And we can learn from him. We can learn from him. Because God's Word gives boundless understanding. Sergio can teach truths from God's Word that are beyond his experiential years. Because it is the same Spirit inside of him, teaching him, that is inside of us. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity." God's word affords boundless understanding. It can give us experiential knowledge beyond our years. Number four, it motivates guiding discernment. Verses 101 and 102. "I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me." Herein lies the key. We can discern wrong from right. We, by the power of God within us, can restrain even evil. We can stay on track, be in step, walk in the Spirit, as Galatians says. We can walk in God's ways because it is God who does the teaching and the guiding. This word, it's His word, not man's. And His word is living and it's powerful. Powerful enough to discern every thought and every intent in our own heart. powerful enough to restrain us from evil ways and lead us in God's ways. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13 tells us, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." That motivates us. That motivates within us guiding discernment. Oh, the evil that we could avoid through the discerning power of God and his word. Number 5, it supplies pleasant reception. Verse 103, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." How important is it to a connoisseur of wine that a wine tastes pleasant? I mean, that's it, right? That's what they're after. That is really what determines whether it's good or bad. And those wines that have the most value are those wines that have the most distinct and pleasant taste. God's word is very pleasant and valuable as well. And that is why the psalmist says, "I love it. I love it." Now, sometimes, know this, the truth hurts. Sometimes God's word and the conviction and change that it demands in our life is not pleasant on the onset. However, the value that comes afterward proves to be very, very profitable. Some fine wines have an acquired taste. Some investments are painful at the beginning. Godly transformation is not always enjoyable. But once we see the gain, we love it. We love it. Hebrews 12:11 says, "Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable or profitable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." And when we recognize the value of God's word, it will become something that we crave. So no matter what we might be a connoisseur of, for these reasons that we've listed, it would be very profitable for us to also be a connoisseur of God's word. Now, here we are, 2,000 years after the living word has come and dwelt in flesh. And truly, our love for God's word is in direct proportion to our love for our Lord who saved us. Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, came to die for our sins so that we through faith could have an eternal relationship with him, to be counted among his children, to love him. I pray that we would. The psalmist here, he loves God's law, and that is the first attitude of a connoisseur of comprehension. Here's the second attitude. We've looked at all the reasons that he loved God's law, but here's the second attitude. He despises false doctrine. Look at verse 104. "Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." You see, the more that we know about the truth, the more we will despise lies when we hear them. Now, doctrine simply means teaching, and a connoisseur of comprehension despises counterfeits, those false teachings. I recently read an article about wine counterfeiting, and they said wine counterfeiting can be done in a variety of ways. They said you can take a bottle of 1962, and I'm going to try to pronounce these, okay? 1962 Chateau Lafite Rothschild, and relabel it as the far more acclaimed and expensive 1959 Lafite. How dare they? Alternatively, you can, I'm reading part of the article for you, okay? Alternatively, you can refill a bottle of 1959 Lafite with a lesser vintage of Lafite, a mixture of vintages, or a blend of Lafite and another wine, say a Napa Cabernet. That would work. And you could put an entirely different wine in the bottle. Old wines, they say, are especially tempting for counterfeiters because they generally command a higher price and fewer people have tasted the genuine articles. However, earlier in the article, it said that many counterfeits are instantly caught by those connoisseurs who know so much about what the true wine tastes like that the counterfeits are easily distinguished. And they said there's nothing that angers a connoisseur more than to pay $500 for a bottle of wine that is worth $20. Well, for the same kinds of reasons, the connoisseur of comprehension despises false doctrine. And here are four reasons for despising false doctrine. Number one, it's incorrect. It's false. It's not true. It's untrue. It's not right. It's wrong. It's not real. It's fake. It's incorrect. Secondly, it's inferior. It may sound wise. It may seem good, but it isn't. It will not hold up. Because the instant we buy that new car, the instant we upgrade our internet connection, the instant we have the instant we do that, there's a newer, faster, better one, and we're right back in the same situation. We've just lost the battle against the enemy. And then connecting that to the other example we used earlier, no matter how far you go back in the theory of evolution, it still cannot answer the question of where it all started. Well, man came from apes, life came from non-life, the universe came from explosion. But where did the explosion come from and why did it explode? It is a theory that truly rejects God. It devalues human life and ignores the danger of sin. And ultimately, it ignores the price and the gift of salvation. And I despise that. I despise it. We can match the truth of God's word against any worldly philosophy and come to the conclusion that worldly wisdom is infinitely inferior. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, God says, "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe it." But false teaching, it's inferior. And then thirdly, it is inept. It may claim to offer insight, but it doesn't. There are false teachings in the world that counterfeit God. They teach about other gods, other ways. It's like putting another wine entirely in the bottle marked God. There are false teachings of the world that try to mix their own teachings or works with teachings of God's grace. But the instant one tries to replace the only God who can save them, the instant one tries to replace grace with works or adds it in there, it becomes inept, worthless, counterfeit. And I despise counterfeits because they deceive and cheat people out of knowing the truth. Titus 3:5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us." John 14:6 and 7, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. And all false teachings are inept to give insight and salvation. And then the fourth reason the psalmist despised every false way is it is insipid. It looks pleasant, but it will leave a bad taste in your mouth. I have known people that have been deceived by false religions, perhaps even lived in one their entire life. And as they finally realized the truth of God's word, they became very bitter, bitter toward those who had lied to them. But even worse than that, there are those who never discover the truth. And while they are alive, there will come a day when they never discover the truth while they're alive, but there will come a day. There will come a day when they will know it. They will see the ugliness of the false teachings they had bought into. And they will see the truth of Jesus Christ, and sadly it will be too late. Hebrews 9:27 says, "For it is appointed to men, for men, to die once, but after this, the judgment." No second chances after death. And that makes me despise false ways. They're incorrect, they're inferior, they're inept, they're insipid. Rather than being as sweet as honey, like our psalmist calls God's word, they are disgusting. And for these reasons, the connoisseur of comprehension loves God's law but despises false doctrine. These are just two attitudes of a connoisseur of comprehension. But in closing, just quickly, I want to point out what I believe are the motives for the psalmist saying what he says right here, okay, to communicate what he's communicated. Number one, his first motive is to praise God for his word, to praise him for his word. Verse 1 began, "Oh, how I love your law." The second motive is enjoyment. All of the meditating, the learning, the understanding, the discerning has been incredibly profitable for him. God's word has become a sweet-tasting joy to consume. And we will find that as you and I, the more time that we spend learning from the Bible, learning about our God who saved us, the more we will grow to enjoy it. In fact, it will generate within us a hunger for more. And then the third motive, I believe, is to convince. While God's word and its profitability has convinced our psalmist to love it, just like many connoisseurs that I've met before, as they give me all of the reasons they love their area of expertise, they love their area of interest, they have tried to convince me to become a connoisseur of that as well. And I think that is exactly what the psalmist is doing here. I think that one of the reasons we read what we read here is so that in seeing how beneficial God's word is, that we might become a connoisseur of comprehension too. I don't know this, but my guess is that someone inspired Scott Grove to love guitars at some point in time. It was probably another connoisseur, and now here he is. Well, our psalmist is inspiring us to love God and his word, for there is nothing better to be a connoisseur of. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, "For all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Let's close in prayer this morning. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we do thank you for inspiring this psalmist to communicate his love for you and your word. And Lord, through what we've seen this morning, I pray that our love has grown. And Lord, I pray that you would instill in us a desire to be a connoisseur of your word. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.